Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. We're into the final week of the study of the book of Philippians. Paul wrote the church to the church at Philippi. He wrote this book while in prison at Rome. And we're calling it He and Me, literally learning how to live your life, finding your identity in Christ. We spent the first 3 weeks chapter by chapter. Now remember, if you've come to all 4 weeks and you've never read a whole book of the Bible, we're reading each chapter each week. You get through your first book of the Bible in church. And so we're hoping that that becomes a habit. We'd like you to have that in your everyday life. God would love, it's so important to have the word in your everyday life, a prayer life, fellowship with God. We've been calling our summer the summer of spiritual growth, where we focus in God's word and as to how it applies to help us to take significant next steps in our walk with God. The first week we talked about from chapter one, we found out, we answered the most important question I think a human can ask is, why am I here? Philippians 1 answers that. Philippians 2 tells you the secret to overcoming anything. Philippians 3 talks to you about how to have an unwavering confidence in life. All of those are available online or the podcast. This week we're going to talk out of chapter 4. We're going to talk about accessing heaven's riches. Now, before I get there, I want to share with you that what's coming up, because what God has put in our hearts, and there's some things I'll be sharing with you today. I can't go into detail yet, but these are things that, gosh, I guess for several years now, Michelle, in her time of prayer, she would come to me and say, honey, I feel like God is really saying some things in this area, and I would catch glimpses of what God was putting in her heart. And over the last, actually, couple months, it's so solidified in my heart of some of the things that God's wanting us to do. And I don't have time, and it's not the appropriate time to get into it right now. But just so you know, starting next week, we're going to be doing a four-week series called The Blessed Life, teaching you from God's word how to literally walk in a life that is blessed of God. And it's so critical that you invest your time and your focus into understanding how to walk with God in such a way that your life reflects His blessing. Not just a portion of your life, but your whole life. Then in the fall, starting in September, we're going to be doing about a 7-week series called Playlist. And that's coming up. And basically it's taking songs on your playlist, secular songs, and we're going to use them as an allegory to messages in the scripture. Real similar to what Paul did when he stood on Mars Hill and he quoted one of their poets and said, in Him we live and move and have our being. And he pointed to what their poet said. And now we quote that as a scripture. And so in that day, the poets were the voice in the culture. Today, music and movies are. And so we're going to take a series that's going to be directed toward everyday life issues that people deal with and struggle with. And it's going to be an amazing time for you to bring friends to church that don't know God or are far from God. And I'm telling you, I believe it's going to be one of the most impactful series we've ever done. The series after that is something I'm calling Raw Faith. And it's about an experience I've had with God this summer that's taken me back to some places in God that I feel like I let slip in my life. And anybody here ever let things slip in your life? Things that you know, where am I missing this? And we'll get to all those things. But let's get into the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 1. I'm just going to read the fourth chapter to you. Paul, again, writing from prison in Rome to the church at Philippi. He said, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche. Who names their kid Syntyche? That had to be the dad that named the kid. Anyway. I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind. They were having little issues, evidently. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women. Everyone say women. God uses women. He said, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. These are ministers. With Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness and unselfishness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, that is definite request, with thanksgiving, Continue to make your wants or requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding or human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, are noble, things that are just, things that are pure or lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that it now at last your care, they were giving financially to his ministry. Your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content or independent of my circumstances. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and I abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that you sent, that were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And notice Paul was in prison. Just so you know, while Paul was in prison, he was under, in a sense, of a house arrest. And those of Caesar's household, the palace guard, he won them to Christ. Imagine Paul, the people actually holding him in prison, say, hey, greet them for us. Paul never stopped making the gospel his focus. So when we talk about accessing heaven's riches, I'm talking to you very practically. How do you have access to a strength beyond your own, heaven's strength? How do you have access to a peace beyond what this world can give you? And how can you have access to resources beyond your own capacity, beyond your own ability? The book, fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, literally is going to tell you how to access these resources, if you will, from God's provision, from heaven to earth, God's hand to your life. But what happens very often in our life as a Christian, and if this hasn't happened to you, you probably haven't been a Christian very long, is that sometimes we end up seeking what is in God's hands and not desiring what is in God's heart. You see, when you just come to God because you need him, and that's okay. He's our Father and he loves us. But there's a higher way to live where your life isn't surrounded and focused on just getting to your next problem through your next solution to your next problem and asking God to just jump in the middle of it and help you, of which, thank God, he's willing to help us in every area of our life. Aren't you glad the scripture said he is an ever-present help in times of trouble? Are you glad for that? It's a good place to be glad because he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I want you to notice the first thing Paul talked about is that and there's three simple points I'll talk to you about today out of chapter 4. The first thing he told them is the gospel is heaven's riches declared. And he actually commended those for helping the women that labored in the work of God with him. And then he said something about them. He said, whose names are written in the book of life. Here's something that Paul knew that we know maybe intellectually as Christians, but needs to drive the reason that we live on planet Earth, is that there is an eternity on the other side of this life. And the book of life has a lot of empty pages in it today. Because if you die and your name is not in the book of life, and the only way it gets in there is by receiving Christ as the Lord of your life, then you are lost without God for an eternity. Now, what is very politically incorrect to say today because people don't like it, but you do understand reality is irrelevant to what I like. If I don't like the sunrise, it still rises. Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And he paid an awful price to make men and women to have access to eternal life by his grace and his goodness. And it's critically important that every one of us understand the context, much of the context of the book of Philippians is a desire to see the gospel, the good news that Jesus paid the sin debt for the world to spread throughout the earth. And so much so that Paul actually says to them about it in the fourth chapter, verse 15 through 17, he said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Now listen to these words. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Paul was simply trying to show them something. The money you're sending me is not what I'm interested in. Money comes and money goes. Needs are met and then more needs come. He said, but when you honor God and your heart is for the gospel, so much so that your heart is so, see, Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, your heart is also. Where you put your money, that's where your heart is. He said, and by doing that, I want you to understand that there is fruit that abounds to your eternal account. Certainly there's the blessing of God on this side of heaven, but there is eternal reward attached to this. You see, where you put your money is where your heart goes. Give you just a simple example. If tomorrow you invest in a stock that you've never invested in, you will start to watch the performance of that stock. Why? Because your treasure's there. It's not a bad thing, it's just a fact. Our heart is toward our children. And good Lord, Jesus, help us, our treasure's there. Anybody here putting some treasure in their kids? I'm borrowing treasure to put it in my kids. I mean, it's crazy. But that's where my heart is. And my daughter, Sienna, our middle girl, her heart is just so tender. She said, because she's more sensitive about, she doesn't want us to, you know, Daddy, I don't want you and Mom to have to spend money on me. The other two never had that problem as much. And she still to this day does it. I pulled her aside finally. I said, "Baby, listen, there is nothing on the planet that I would rather invest my life in than you. It's not a shortfall to me. It's not," he said, "well, Daddy, you know, I know that, you know, money doesn't grow on trees." I said, "Baby, neither do you. I love you. You matter more to me than," and so my heart's there. Last night at the end of the service, this is why I encourage you, always stay through the end, because we've ordered the service in such a way as that we can get into the presence of God. And as we were waiting on God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about some of the things that he put on my heart that we are meant to do as a church. And I'll tell you, a lot of things that have seemed to be just kind of scattered in a way have in the last couple months have come so clearly together. And about, in the, oh man, I can't wait to get to this to be able to share with you some of the things God supernaturally has done. I mean, confirmed some things. It's amazing. And yet I know that to do some of the things he's put in our hearts to do. And Michelle actually has been praying about long before, for 3 years, been praying about some of these things. About the future. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart last night. And I'll just read it to you because I wrote it down and I shared it with the church last night, but let me put it in the message today. Listen to what he said to me. He said, and this is how he just speaks to your heart, and I wrote it down. He said, I will hold you accountable for the grace I've given you for the next generation. And I will raise up people to bring the vision I've given you to pass. So trust me, act upon my heart, my instruction, and you will see great and mighty things. Why is God speaking that to my heart? Because here's what you need to understand about fulfilling the purpose of your life. And the purpose of your life must be bigger than what you want to need. Because ultimately, you'll end up just wanting what is in God's hand and not what's in his heart. It's when God's heart melts to my heart, or I melt my heart into his, that I begin to live my life literally connected to the creator of the universe, and that the steps I'm making with my life are pleasing to him, and I will step into a divine purpose, listen to me, where all of the resources of an eternal God are brought into your life and you have access to. Many people want the resources of heaven for simply earthly purposes, temporal things that will pass away. Those are not unimportant, But Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. So before Paul begins to talk about the resource of God's peace and provision, he said, first understand that your heart has to be melted into his. And as I look at some of the things I know he's called us to do as a church, I look at it and I think, Lord, that's, man, some of that stuff is, it's big. And I look at it and your first thought is natural. How would that ever happen? Listen to what he went on to say, because the second thing is this. When you walk with God in this regard, you have access to heaven's peace in your everyday life. How many of you know this world can give you peace, but this same world can take it away? One phone call can take away my peace. One bad situation occur, and naturally, oh, your peace is gone. But listen to what Paul wrote about accessing heaven's peace in your life. Philippians 4:6. He said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants or requests known to God. Do not have anxiety about anything. Don't worry about anything is what he said. If it were in a song, it would be, don't worry, be happy. Well, somebody would say, well, that's really nice, but it's impossible to live your life without worry. No, it's not. And I'll show you how in a moment. But worry is not a virtue. Worry is actually living by faith in reverse. Worry is letting fear govern your heart, your mind, your thinking, and you think about it, you meditate upon it, you rest your mind and your heart upon it, and it begins to take away your peace, and it begins to project a future. Here's all worry is. Worry is projecting a future absent the provision of God. That's all it is. It's telling you that he won't be, God will be faithful to 10,000 generations, but not you. Now, I grew up with championship warriors in my family. I mean, championship. I'll just tell you one story. My dad's mom, who thankfully came to the Lord before she died, because before that, she was, how do you say this politely when a person is demon possessed? The woman was mean. I don't know how to say it any more politely than that. She just was mean. She grabbed my face as a little kid. She goes, tutti brutti, tutti brutti. I'd say, oh, that's nice, whatever that means in Italian. Dad, what's that mean? She's saying you're ugly. Love you too, Grandma. Here's how she said she loved you. She said, oh, I worry for you. God knows I go bed tonight, I lay bed. I said, oh, God, my Johnny, I worry just for him. She thought it was a virtue. And I don't know if she really worried for me or not, but at least she told me she did. And that was better, you know, if you're going to tell someone you're ugly, at least worry about their ugliness, you know? But what he simply said is this, you're going to have to make a decision whether you're going to live in the resources of heaven or the resources of earth. You're going to have to make a decision whether fear is going to govern the way you live your life or whether what God says is going to govern your life. He said, in every circumstance you face, whatever you face, you bring it to your God. And once you bring it to him, you know he's faithful. Now you walk away from that place of prayer of giving thanks that God is faithful no matter what it looks like. That's what he said to do. He said, do it with thanksgiving. And I can't go into detail yet, but this is burning in me. I'm telling you guys, it's like something is on fire in my soul. Because God has showed me some things for the future for this church that are so incredible. The next 5 years, what he wants to do in and through this church is going to literally touch generations. Oh, God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. But here's the deal. The first thing that came to my mind is, what about this and what about that? And what about the fear says, because it's natural, it's human. Well, how's that? How would that? And what he spoke to my heart last night is that, John, I'm holding you accountable to the call on your life. And it's much of this is about the next generation. I'll hold you accountable for this. And then he brought peace to my heart. He said, son, I'll raise up people. I'll bring it to pass. You just do what I told you. And next, when we get into the Blessed Life series, man, there's some stuff in my heart. I'm telling you, this is the stuff that if you let it settle in your heart, it will change the way you live. Church is not a time to come, all right, look, good message, preacher, and go home. If it isn't in your heart where you can make decisions, your life changes, then come on. There's a lot. It's a beautiful Sunday. How many of those do you get in Pittsburgh? Come on, man. I mean, I'm going outside. I'll listen to a podcast if I just want to hear someone talk and do nothing with it. Coming to church should change your life. Being in the presence of God should change your life. That's what we're here for. To come together in the presence of God. And he said, in everything. And God is showing me, he's putting it in my heart. When you obey me, I will do my part. You just do your part. You can live that way, and it is an exciting way to live when you begin to step into the purpose of your life. Or you can live on the other side of that equation and find out the 56 reasons why you can't do anything yet. Well, that's not, well, give me a decade. Our generation doesn't have a decade. But people are going to be lost. There's pages need to be filled in the book of life. And another generation has to be trained to reach their world. And I'm telling you, there's so much God wants to do. Let me read you what he said in verse 7 and 8 of Philippians 4. He said, once you live this way, where you literally refuse to live in the realms of worry, but you live in a realm of faith and you commit it to God and you act like his word is true. Listen to what he said, what happened. And then the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And because of this, verse 8 tells you the way to think. And better yet, it tells you the way you get the privilege to think. In other words, if you live this way, this is how your thought life will be instead of the other way around. He said, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, or praiseworthy, I want you to just think and meditate on those kind of things. If it doesn't fit that picture, don't let your mind rest on it. That's impossible. You're right. It's absolutely impossible unless the peace of God is guarding your heart and mind. Well, how does the peace of God guard my heart and mind? I take everything to him and I trust him with it. And then I walk away from that place of trust saying, thank you, Father, you are faithful. I see it as done because if you're involved, it's done. I don't care what it looks like. You are faithful. And he said, and the peace of God will govern your heart. See, God's peace produces a mind that will rest on heaven's resources. It will guard your mind beyond human understanding, and it will let you live independently of circumstances. So when I think back, and when I get to this series called Raw Faith, I pray that you'll give God the opportunity. Make these weekend services what the Bible calls them to be in your life, a priority. Put God first. I tell you, if you'll just give God 6 months of your life where you'll invest in walking with him, putting him first in your week, getting in a small group when they launch, having a daily devotional. Listen to me, you won't recognize your life. It won't be the same because you'll partner with the God who will breathe into you purpose. And yet so many of our lives are trapped in everything other than what God says about us. He's saying to the church at Philippi, who did what to you is irrelevant. And listen, because the next thing he talked about, number three, was accessing heaven's riches in your everyday life. Listen to what Paul said in verse 11 of chapter 4. He said, not that I speak in regard to need, meaning them giving him an offering. For I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now listen, that means in the Greek, independent of circumstance. God wants you and me to live independently of the circumstances of our life. Those in our present and those in our past and those in our future. Do you understand the wonder of what he's saying? Is that God wants you to live based on his plan for your life, and everything around you, no matter if it's good, bad, or ugly, is irrelevant because God is faithful. He said, I've learned. Everyone say, I've learned. That means he didn't know this by birth. I've learned that no matter what state I'm in, that I can trust God and live independently of what that circumstance tells me. Here's the horrific thing about most of the circumstances that govern our life. They were given to us before we had a choice. There are many of us sitting right now in this room, people watching literally online all over the world. And you're sitting today and you're sitting with a belief system. You're sitting with a heart that was shaped by circumstances before you ever got to make choices, before you ever reached adult life. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, abandonment, parents who never affirmed you, parents who didn't know how to affirm you, that they thought being good to you meant to tell you everything wrong with you. And that shaped your heart. Brokenness that drove you to unhealthy relationships, where you married somebody that was so unhealthy because that's all you understood. And then that unhealthy person, because they're unhealthy and you were unhealthy, unhealthy times unhealthy is a train wreck. And your marriage then blew up, or maybe your husband or your wife, they found someone else or two or three other else's, and now you don't trust anybody anymore. And before, I can't stand this life anymore. I can't trust anybody. Nothing ever works out for me. Do you want to live the rest of your life tied to that? Or do you want to live independently of those circumstances? That's what he's saying. You don't have to let anyone, anything, anybody define you but a Savior. Do you understand? What a liberating way to live. Come on, man. That's incredible. You can live in this liberated lifestyle. Because all of us got some crazy in our family. Come on. Anybody got some crazy in their family? You say, I don't have any. Then you're the crazy one. Everybody's got, and then everybody was raised by imperfect people. It's just so important that we understand that when you live this way, there's a peace that comes from God, that you're able to step into the impossibilities of life. You're able to look into the face of voices in, see, look, other people's voices are one thing to overcome. Circumstances are one thing to overcome. What most of us are never able to overcome is the voice in our head that disagrees with God because it's so real. Time and time again, please hear my heart. I would never say a disparaging word about another church or a pastor. I won't do it. So when I say this, please don't misinterpret that. I'm giving a portion of my life to serve churches and to serve pastors. So please don't misinterpret this. But I have talked to pastor after pastor, after church leadership group after pastor. And they tell me what God has put in their heart. And then the next sentence, they said, well, this is what we have to do in order to do this. But we need to wait on God to see if we should do it. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Here's the code speak. Let me decipher that. We're waiting where it looks like we can do it before we'll do it. And a decade will go by and they'll be stuck in the same spot. Because they're waiting for God to change everything so they can trust him. You trust God and then he changes everything. And that's what I want. That's on a church-wide basis. It's on an individual basis. What has he said? What is that thing that heaven put in your heart that has been just built? You built a little wall around it and said, I'm tired of being disappointed. That's never going to happen. Paul's saying, I want to bust that wall up. I want you to learn to live independently of your circumstances. That's why he said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything, there's nothing I can't do in him because I live independently of my circumstances. And I have watched the faithfulness of God in two broken lives that Jesus rescued and put two broken people together. And spent 7 years trying to change the other one into the other form of crazy. Anybody married? They say, hey, when you get married, you become one. And then the fight is over which one. We spent 7 years. I tried to make her my crazy. She tried to make me her crazy. And it was crazy. But God, in his mercy, he began to move in our hearts and move in our lives. And step by step, he would rescue our hearts and help us to see and make us whole on the inside and restore our souls. And when impossibility after impossibility after impossibility would arise, we've seen the faithfulness of God. And I promise you this, God, the scripture said, is faithful to 10,000 generations, and he will not stop with you. Don't you ever let something in you, beside you, or through you, or that you've done yourself, define who you are. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then finally, he said this in verse 19. Now, I want you to say, understand the context of who he's speaking to. What I'm about to read to you is spoken to people who are givers. Everybody say givers. Yes. Now, here's what most people hear when I say that. You mean, if I don't give, God won't help me. That's not what I said. Giving is an indication of trust. How you handle money, Jesus said, will tell you where your trust is. It's that simple. If your money goes to where God's heart is, then you are trusting God. If it isn't, it's simple. And it doesn't make you bad. It's just a fact. God, I can't do that yet. Why not, son? Well, because, you know, if I do what you tell me to do, my life will get messed up. We won't make it. What must that sound like to a God who shed blood for you? Lord, I'd obey you in these areas of being a giver, and I don't just mean money. People ask you, how often do you preach on giving? Every week. Here's what they think I said. They're asking me, how often do you preach on money? Well, not often, but I preach on giving every week because you cannot live in the heart of God without being a giver because God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. That's who he is. When you're not a giver, it tells you you live in fear. If I can hold on to this, and whatever this is, it could be in your daily life, it could be in your finances, it doesn't matter. It's telling you what you trust in. That's why being a giver breaks that spirit in your life. Every time money comes into our life, that's why a tenth of it goes right to this church. Off the top, don't think about it. Well, I can't afford to do that. I would suggest to you, you can't afford to live in fear the rest of your life. And by the way, how's that working for you? That trying to fix everything on your own thing. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with being in a position where your heart is tied to his. Where you refuse to live in fear, worry, and anxiety. Where you make your request known to him. You refuse to let thoughts rest in your mind that are contrary to the faithfulness of God. You refuse it. You refuse it. And then the peace of God settles in your heart and in your mind. And now you're not doing it. I'm not going to think that. No, no, no. This isn't you getting stronger. This is God's peace protecting your heart and mind. I think the way I think, not because I'm a diligent Christian. I think the way I'm protected. He protects my heart and mind. He enables me to think this way. His grace gives me the power to do it. Why? Because I trust. See, that's why grace and faith are so critical. Trust, that's why without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God, Hebrews 11:6 says, must believe. And you must believe he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let me read this to you, and we're going to get into the presence of God. Worship team, come on up. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. He's writing to the church of Philippi. You that have sent once again to my necessity. You that are going to find heaven's resources being distributed out of your life, fruit that abounds to your account. My God shall supply all your need. Not a few of everything you need to do what he called you to do. My God will supply it all. Now here's the key word, through. His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here's the final point. What he's telling you, that the resource you are to depend upon is not your bank account, not your intellect, not your friends or lack of friends, your enemies, your good days, your bad. I will meet your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is there anything you think God in heaven looks at and says, shucks, I can't do that one. I'd love to help, but it's a bad time right now. We need, you know, we need to hawk the note on the throne to pay off the debt on the. Love to help you, but it's an economy stuff. Heaven's economy is different than earth's economy. Here's what he's basically telling you. When you live this way, you live by heaven's economy. That means nothing's impossible. That means that nothing shapes your decisions but what he says about your life. What would my life and your life look like if that's how you lived? And I've never met a Christian in my life that doesn't want to live this way. But here's the reality. The way you get to the other side of this is having the humility to say, Father, teach me, show me. And then you make these bold steps in your life. I have a lot of regrets like you do in your life, but let me tell you one I'll never have. I never regretted one time, ever, one time, not even a moment, where I've obeyed God in my life. Never. And some of the things he's asked us to do at the time, my mind was screaming in 30 directions. Can I tell you? I look back, and I have no regrets as it pertains to obedience to God, and neither will you. Why not let's live like we're eternal beings with an eternal God that nothing's impossible with before we die? Isn't that a good way to live? That's what Paul's saying to the church at Philippi. That's how you're meant to live. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in your presence we come. And I know that every one of us in this room have such a variety of situations and circumstances that can be just pressuring us in life, that can be holding us down, that can be hemming us in and building prison walls that we're living under. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that those walls can come down in our hearts today. Lord, the prayer that I have today for every one of us is that we can answer just some simple questions. What are you saying to me today, Father? What are you saying to me today from this message? What are you showing me that I can humble myself and then ask the next question? How can I, by faith, step into that today? How can I speak in a way that will reflect that? How can I think in a way that will reflect that? How can I act in a way that will reflect that instruction? I will trust your faithfulness. What is he speaking to your heart? The scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is your teacher, not a man. And so, Father, I pray right now across this room that the Holy Spirit of our God will so manifest himself in the hearts of men and women. One word from heaven will change your life. I pray that over every person under the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. As heads remain bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here, you say, I don't know where I'd spend my forever. Please understand that no one goes to heaven because they're a good person. And I trust you are, and that's wonderful. No one goes to heaven because they went to a church, a member of a church, had a sacrament of a church, whether it's baptism, confirmation, communion, anything. Doesn't matter. No church, no denomination, including this church, can give you a thing to do, a sacrament to receive, that will make you a Christian. There's only one thing that makes us right with God. It's in humility we bow our knee and say, I am a sin-stained person, and Jesus is the only hope of my salvation. I ask him to come into my heart to be the Lord Savior of my life. And the scripture said he comes and he turns no one away. And when he comes, he makes you brand new. Brand new. As if sin never existed in your life. If you're here today and you're not certain if you left this planet today where you'd spend your eternity, and you want to know and you want to receive Christ as the Lord of your life. You believe he's the Son of God, died on the cross for your sins, buried and rose from the dead, and you want to receive him. Or secondly, maybe you have received Christ in the past, or you're not sure. And you feel like your heart is just so far from God. And you want to make that decision today to step back into that love and that mercy and grace that's always been waiting for you. Say, Father, I refuse to let my sin and my difficulty and even my bitterness or even unforgiveness hold me back from you one moment longer. I ask you, Jesus, into my heart. I want you to know I receive all that you are for me and my sin. I want my sin washed away. I want to walk free from this day forward knowing that your love will never leave me or fail me. If you're any one of those accounts, you say, please pray for me. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand and then we'll all pray a prayer out loud together right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Would you just lift your hand up real high and I'll pray for you? Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, thank you. Bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, or you're watching online, pray this out loud. Where Jesus, out of your heart, we'll pray it together with you. You're talking to God. And this isn't to single you out. I'm not going to ask you to get up and sing and dance. You're receiving Christ into your life. And expect the God of all creation to show up so great in your life. You're about to step into a place of utter forgiveness, utter cleansing, as he now proclaims you to be his very own, his child. Pray this where you hear it, and we'll pray it with you. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you. Let's stand together. We're going to go into the presence of God now and worship him. Service isn't nearly over. We're same time frame. This is when God, the Holy Spirit of God, wants to do something amazing in your life. Why don't you come to church and get everything he has for you? I'm telling you, last night his presence was amazing. His presence, he wants to show up in your life right now. And what I have in my heart to do is very simple. And this was actually yesterday afternoon when I was praying. And in a moment, we're gonna go into a song of worship. But before we do, I want to ask you to make a consecration from your heart during this worship song. After we get about halfway into the worship song, I'm going to ask prayer partners, because I want you to do it as well. Then you make your way and fill up the front. And if you want someone to pray with you at that point, just meet with them in the front. But we'll go a little bit further in the service after that. But here's what the Spirit of God, I believe, so strongly put in my heart. Is there's a place in God that he wants you to step into. Not by some decision you're going to make, because you're going to find a new strength. Your new strength is as dead as your old strength. It's a decision to step into his love and his grace and his mercy. It's a decision to say, I do these things because of your love for me, because you're trying to bring me places that I'll never get if I hold on to this side of life. There are some of you in this room, listen to me. There are things God has birthed in your heart that have been so calloused over, for sometimes what appears to be very legitimate reasons. Regardless of those issues in your life, I want you, as the worship team begins to worship, would you just forget about everybody around you, everything around you, what's going on this afternoon? Create a little altar around you and God. Close your eyes. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to surrender, to lift your hands. And I want you to pour your heart out to God. Say, I don't even know why I'm here. My life's so messed up. I forget a purpose. I just can't even breathe almost. I don't want you to have this simple prayer of, oh, God, help my mess. I want you to pray this prayer. God, my mess doesn't define me. You made me for something purposeful. Birth it in my heart today. Show it to me. Or if it's in your heart and it's been calloused over, say, Holy Spirit, break down those lies and walls in my heart. Teach me, show me, and I will honor you and obey you. I'm willing to risk your love in the midst of your love and faithfulness. And by the way, that's not much of a risk. You can leave this place today embracing the goodness of your God. If you heard me speak and say, well, these are the 12 things God makes me do to love me, you missed the whole message. I do these things because of his love. I do these things because I believe he is who he said he was, and he did what he said he did, and he died in my place. This is about you partnering with a God that loves you, who desires not just to cleanse your sin and make you this messed up servant that he cleaned up a little bit, but he calls you a son and daughter of the living God. He proclaims you to be bone of his bone, as it were, flesh of his flesh. In fact, he said, I send my spirit into you, crying out, Daddy. I want you to see, I want to be your daddy. See, man, my parents were messed up. He didn't want to be messed up. He wants to be a daddy. Daddy is what happens when a little girl says that and the father goes, blah, blah, blah. That's a daddy. He said, I never had one of those. You've got one now. You don't have to live like the old one. He said, I have that, but my family's messed up. No. The Bible said when you give your life to Christ, you become a member of the family of God. Let me tell you about your heavenly father. He ain't messed up. Why not yield to him with everything you have today? And why not let this be a day that you'll remember for eternity? When the God of all creation shook out the cobwebs, broke down the walls, and you stepped into your purpose in a way that you never dreamed possible. Let me pray for you. We're going to go into the presence of God. After about halfway through the song, prayer partners, make your way down. Would you just, right where you're at, as an act of surrender, close your eyes, forget about whoever's around you. If you would, as an act of surrender, if you would, just simply lift your hands as an act of surrender to God. Lord, you said in your word that we should lift up holy hands. We know that's just simply an act of worship and surrender. And I pray for the men and women in this room, those watching online. Lord, help us to see that there are generations of people on the other side of these decisions. Our children, our grandchildren. And Holy Spirit, I ask you now to sweep this room by your power. I thank you for your gifts, your manifestations and operations to flow freely in this room, to heal bodies that have been sick, to do miracles in bodies and in lives that are utterly impossible. But nothing is impossible with you. We believe you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your power has not grown weak. Your arm has not grown short. So, Father, I just pray over every person here that your divine purpose would emerge in their heart. And we now consecrate in the presence of your love as we worship you. Let's worship him. I hear this cry in your in people's hearts. God, how do I do this? How do I take a next step? What do I do? I know there's stuff you have for me. I know there's stuff that binds me. What do I do? How do I act on this? And what's in my heart to do is I'm going to show you what you do every day. This is not at church. This is when you wake up in the morning. This is this afternoon when thoughts come to your mind and say, no, you messed up thing. He doesn't love you. You goofy thing. That was just, you were excited in church. Go back into your hole and live. I want to show you what you do. We're going to go back into worship and I want you to be doing it. And he said, well, I don't know all the scriptures you know. That's why it's so important to put the word of God in your heart. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is your offensive weapon in a world trying to kill you, set a fire of hell. You've got to know God's word. That's why it's so important you come to church. Get your kids here. Say, well, we're busy. You're way too busy. Put him first. Get in a small group. Lead a small group. Walk with God. He'll do things in your heart you can't imagine. Father, we come in your presence, and I thank you. There are things I know you've put in my heart that my mind tells me seem impossible. But Father, I come into your presence and I humble myself. I refuse to lift up my feelings above you. I refuse to lift up circumstances and the word impossible above you. I humble myself and I say, let God be true and every man a liar. That my God is faithful to 10,000 generations. That you sent your spirit into my heart and he cries out, Abba, Father, you are my Father, Jesus. You said, if I seek first the kingdom, my Father will add everything to me. Nothing is impossible with you. You'll open the eyes of my understanding. You'll show me things to come. You'll show me purpose. You'll give me understanding and revelation. Surely your word declares that I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I don't care what it feels like. You said I'm delivered. I am delivered. The package is delivered. I've opened the package in Jesus. It belongs to me. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Father, I thank you. I thank you today that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter who says, thinks, what does, I don't care. I worship you. I make you large in my life. I magnify you. And today by faith, I say, because of Jesus, I dwell in a secret place that no enemy can find. I dwell in the cleft of the rock, a hidden place in Christ, in my God, that no enemy has access to. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under your very shadow, and thus I say of you, you are my God. You are my fortress. You are my refuge, the one in whom I place my trust. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come near to me. Only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked. I set my love on you. Therefore, you will deliver me. You will set me on high because I know your name. Though 1,000 fall, Father, you will be faithful to me. Long life you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. And nothing is impossible with you. I will live my life on purpose. No devil in hell, no human being, not my own head, my own life, my own mistakes and the mistakes and sins of others will define me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let God be true and every man a liar. Faithful is my God. I trust you. I trust you. And I'll live that way because of who you are. Amen. That's how you do that. You do it every day of the world. And you let your heart govern your life, I'm telling you, it'll take you places you can't imagine. So I'm just not one of those kind of excitable religious people. No, what you are is trapped in a prison. See, people, I can't worship God like that. Go to a Steeler game, get drunk, all over the place. You get full of some other kind of spirit, you do stupid stuff. Get full of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you. He'll break down some inhibitions in you too. He wants you full to overflowing. God doesn't want you living in a puddle. He wants you in a river. Don't live your life in a puddle. They smell, they stink, they're stagnant. That's what Jesus came to do. He wants you free. I believe, man, we come into his presence, he changes our life. Let's just worship him one more time. And we have water baptism today. They'll give you some instruction right at the end. Before we go, just right now, some of you do what I just did in your own way, the best you can, as we worship God. Let's worship him as we go on our way today, expecting that God is God. God is my answer, my resource, and all that I need. Amen? Man, let's go for it. Let's worship him.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.